This is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Eric Martinez, who is the program coordinator in the San Francisco Unified School District for LGBTQ programs. And this has been something that the San Francisco Unified School District has been a leader in for years and years. In fact, almost 25 years there have been these programs. So, Eric, lots of people want to know, can you explain what each one of those letters means?
Definitely. So first we want to start with our L, which stands for lesbian. The G is for gay, B for bisexual, T for transgender. And then we have our Q, which depending on the audience can shift in meaning. Q can also represent our questioning population, so students who are questioning or trying to figure out who they're attracted to, their sexual orientation, or how they identify, right? Maybe they identify as male, female, or somewhere else along the gender spectrum. Or Q can also represent queer, which is a term that often used in the West Coast to represent this umbrella term for the entire community.
And so this is a program that started in 1990 in the San Francisco School District to create supportive environments for these children. How has it changed? Because a lot's happened since then.
Yeah, a lot has happened. A lot has changed. I think initially when the school district was looking at providing supportive services for this population, the main focus was on young gay men in high schools. I think there was an awareness that a lot of these young men weren't succeeding in schools, were being targets of bullying. There were a lot of mental health issues coming on or happening. So they had hired a part-time therapist to work with them individually and kind of do that work. But not surprisingly, doing that work, you realize, well, A, it wasn't so much the students who needed fixing, but the actual structure, the schools that needed support and integrating and being more supportive and safe for these students. And then B, recognizing that the need was far beyond just these young gay men, that we also had queer young women, you know, lesbians, bisexual students, and even some gender nonconforming or transgender students in our schools that also needed support. So since then, that program has gone from kind of this one-on-one intensive to really looking at shifting school climates, looking at how can we promote inclusivity, how we can promote safety, and then also look at then building leadership skills and other skills among this population.
So there really has been a tremendous mind shift in the population on helping these youngsters. And you've seen it in the schools.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting how our schools are kind of a reflection of our society, where you see some of the same struggles around inclusion and needing safety, also needing respect, but then also how larger shifts in society also then trickle back into our schools. So as we've seen more and more successes for queer community in terms of rights, in terms of respect, you see a lot of our school climates and a lot of our young people really responding to that. So for example, we have a lot more gay straight alliances in our schools, and this includes middle school.
So let's go back a little bit in the sense of you say, oh, we have a lot of gay straight alliances.
Right.
A lot of people will say, what is he talking about? What does that mean?
So gay straight alliances are sort of these extracurricular clubs where students can come together, usually during lunchtime, to plan school-wide events, school activities, to really bring visibility to the community, promote safety and inclusion for our students. So some of these clubs do tabling during school. They run games around LGBT history. They may also at certain schools be part of assemblies where they highlight the need for respect, or they'll do something fun like a drag show with teachers and students.
And so here in San Francisco, we have not only the school district providing support, but we have lots of other organizations that come in and help the school district too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the really great things about doing this work in San Francisco is that our community provides a lot of great resources. So there's a lot of great connections happening between our school sites and the community. So there are organizations like Lyric, for example, Huckleberry Youth Programs, Health Initiatives for Youth, the LGBTQ Speakers Bureau Collective that come in, either help with presentations or do presentations with our students and staff.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Eric Martinez, who is the LGBTQ program coordinator with the San Francisco Unified School District. So let's talk a little bit about how you would help a child. At what point would you get involved in supporting a youngster who you might recognize in some way needs some additional help?
Right. We're really lucky in our schools to have supportive staff there ready to really look at what the networks of supports are for students who are identifying. So we in K-8, for example, so kindergarten to eighth grade in some of those school sites, we have social workers and school nurses. So oftentimes what happens is a student identifies sometimes in private to a teacher or maybe directly to a school social worker, an assessment happens. And mostly the assessment begins with a focus on what is their current safety net. So how are things at home? How are things at school? How are things in the neighborhood, you know, to and from school? Do they feel supported? Are there people that they're trusting? And really then from there looking at, okay, what is the next step in terms of making sure that the school environment is as supportive as they need? And then depending if there are other issues, those school staff will then connect with me. I can then also come in potentially to meet with the student and then also support connections between resources in the community and the school site.
One of the great challenges that our students have, and I think continue to have, is although we try to be inclusive, yes, we have things that kids aren't aware of that will hurt children, words that they don't recognize as being insulting or slurring. How do we address that kind of undercurrent of lack of knowledge within the rest of the school community?
Yeah, so really building that awareness and kind of building that baseline with our students is ongoing work. We're really lucky in San Francisco to have teachers who are willing to promote safe and supportive environments. So we have, you know, kind of little promotional materials like posters, T-shirts, wristbands, buttons that teachers can wear and provide to students. We're also making sure that our health education classes are as inclusive as possible. So the health education is definitely one site where our students learn about LGBT community. What do these terms mean? What does it mean to be an ally? And that's something that we also push as well, is that maybe you don't have to identify as part of this population to be supportive or to help out. One thing that we're working on that's actually really new is inclusive history and social studies education. So looking at what are the contributions of people who are identified as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans, and how they've contributed to our American experience, to our San Francisco experience, as also a way of normalizing and creating inclusion.
And there's an extraordinary history there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what I love about doing this specifically in San Francisco is that a lot of it is local history. So it ties into what they're seeing in their neighborhoods, or it's really tangible because they can visit that place, right? And then they can see the impact that's had nationwide.
So one of the things that I'm guessing that you address is giving students the courage to speak up when they hear something that is uncomfortable or not politically correct?
Absolutely. So some other programs and support we do with our students, so our Gay Straight Alliances are also spaces where our students learn a lot of leadership skills. So we often do conferences with these groups. We teach them skill building. We also have youth outreach workers at many of our middle schools and high schools, and these are students who have chosen to take on leadership opportunities and where they also do peer education with other folks. So then you also not just have this message being shared between teachers and students, but really reiterated between peer to peer, which I think is a really powerful model.
So in terms of the total population of students in a school district, how many children are you supporting specifically, and I'm also asking the question of you're supporting the school-wide population too.
Absolutely. So you know, when we look at the middle school population, I don't have the raw numbers, but we do know that we have about 4% of our middle schoolers who are identifying as lesbian, gay, and bisexual, with about 1% identifying as trans. Unsurprisingly, when we get to high school, the number increases a bit, right? So we have about 6% of our high school population who identifies as LGB, and about 1% transgender, which is actually, we're really proud of our trans numbers. We're one of the few school districts in the country that actually tracks and has a really great data on how many trans students we have in our district.
So I'd really like to thank Eric Martinez, who is the program coordinator with the San Francisco School District of the LGBTQ program, for joining me and talking about a program that has a great history in San Francisco, 25 years of helping children. This is Carol Kosovar, Looking at Education on KALW.